And we're starting a new series. It's a 3-week series called Prophet, Priest, and King. Who knows, Jesus fulfilled all three offices of prophet, priest, and king. You know, and trying to understand what that means. Here in the United States, we have three branches of government. Anyone want a little prize if you can name all three? I heard all three. Executive, legislative, and judicial. And thank God we don't have one person representing all three. We have some that try. But they don't. They are three separate positions. And in the Old Testament, there are three offices that were a mediation between God and his people. And once someone was appointed to one of these three positions, they would be anointed with oil over their head, and separate individuals held these offices. We have seen ones in the past who filled the role of each individual office well. Samuel was one of the most notable prophets in the Old Testament. He was God's representative to the children of Israel, yet Israel demanded a king. Samuel honored God and spoke on behalf of God. Then there's Melchizedek, and he filled the role of priest sent by God to Abram, and we can talk more about Melchizedek next week. And David filled the role of God's chosen king as revealed through the prophet Samuel. But no one has filled all three offices but Jesus Christ. And so today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at each office that Jesus held and why that he made the perfect prophet, why he makes the perfect priest, why he makes the perfect king. And I want us to go back and I want us to look at where the role of prophet all started. And church, you know, there's times for preaching, there's times for teaching, there's times for both. I'm telling you today is deep for your notes. It's teaching. And so there's going to be a lot of scripture today, but I don't think that is without accident. Listen, we had an emotional worship service. Now it's time to apply the word. Amen? It's time to dive deep. So if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 22 this morning. And here's what's been taking place, that Moses is having these experiences with God. And he's seeing how God has used him, but he is crying out for a prophet. And this is Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. And we're going to pick up right at verse 15. Hopefully you're there. It says, Moses continued, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you yourselves requested from the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, 'Don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this blazing fire, for we will die.' Then the Lord said to me, 'What they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command him. I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. But any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or who speaks in the name of another god must die.' But you may wonder, 'How will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared.'" Let's pray. Father God, we see what it means to speak on behalf of you. Lord, we should do so with fear and trembling. And God, when we look to you, we look to you as the one who provides word of truth. We look to you as the one who provides the foretelling and forthtelling of our lives. God, we look to you as the one who provides the healing and the miracle. We praise you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, prophet, it's a thing that if you look to certain sects of religion, has different interpretations. For instance, if you were to research the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you have their interpretation of what a prophet is. You have the Pentecostal fringe, I'll call it, that has their idea of what a prophet is. And I think it is so important for us to look at the biblical understanding of prophet, what it was in the Old Testament, how Jesus fulfilled it, and even how prophets can be used today. Amen? That is godly. Now, as we look at the office of prophet, there are three main functions of a prophet. And I think if you are a note taker, this is worth writing down, because the Apostle Paul says, and we're going to reference this later in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that if you desire prophecy, you desire a good thing. And so that should be something that we want God to stir up inside of us. So I think it is important to make sure that you are thinking about what it means exactly to be a prophet. The first function of a prophet is you are a spokesman for God. When the people of Israel asked the prophet Samuel for a king, listen to what God told Samuel in 1 Kings 8:7. He says, "Do everything they say to you," the Lord replied, "for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer." So Samuel, what he was responsible for relaying the word of God to the people of Israel, and God states that he was the source of Samuel's authority and words, and God was saying, "You don't need a king. I fill that role in your life. Look to Samuel to deliver my authority and what I say." So Samuel the prophet was God's representative, and God fulfilled that role of king. And it was clear their desire for a king was a rejection of God. Now there are many passages in Scripture that says, "The word of the Lord came to me," which indicates that the source of the message was God, not the prophet. If we look to passages like 2 Samuel 7:4, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, Ezekiel 3:16, opening verses from Hosea, Joel, Micah, Jonah, and Zephaniah, we will see that these men of God said, "This is the word of the Lord which came to me." When Jesus came to the earth, Jesus taught God's message, not his own. It says in John 7:16, "So Jesus told them, 'My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me.' He also stated that he spoke just what the Father taught me in John 8:28. And in Jesus' prayer in John 17:8, he says, 'I gave them the words you gave me.'" So Jesus fulfilled the role of prophet as he was God's spokesman. The next function of a prophet is to prophesy. And I think more than anything today, that's our basic understanding of a prophet, but clearly it's so much more than that. But to prophesy is foretelling and forthtelling through divine revelation from God. And so forthtelling is a function that God uses where he reveals truths to the prophets that they otherwise wouldn't know. Now, this was evident, if we were to turn back into 2 Samuel chapter 12, this was evident with the prophet Nathan. He was a prophet, and he was David's trusted advisor. And then if we go and look there, 2 Samuel 12, God uses Nathan to reveal David's secret sin. And here's the interesting thing about how God uses men in this capacity, because he often uses prophets who wouldn't know unless it came directly from God. And I believe that's a big reason why God doesn't use pastors too often to prophesy over people they counsel or they already know their personal matters. God will use an outside source. And if there is a leader in your life or an authoritative person that says, God has given me a word for you, and they already have direct knowledge of what's going on in your life, I would discount it immediately. Just because they can use their own heart to reason with the word of God to speak over you, right? Then there's foretelling in prophecy, and it's not the common task of prophet, but a primary role. Speaks on God's behalf, predicting the future. Jesus predicted the future when he told his disciples in Matthew 16, 21. Listen to this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law, that he would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Jesus also predicted that shortly after his ascension, the disciples would receive power from the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that was also revealed in Acts chapter 2, which was 10 days after his ascension. Jesus fulfilled the role of prophet because he spoke predictively. He could speak to the future. The third function of a prophet is healings and miracles. There are many Old Testament examples of this, but Moses performed many miracles, including parting the Red Sea, which could be found in Exodus 14, 21 through 22. Elijah performed a miracle when he called down fire from heaven to burn up a sacrifice. That's 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 36 through 38. Elisha performed a miracle when he made the axe head float in water in 2 Kings 6:6. All four gospel accounts record Jesus performing many miracles, from turning water into wine to healing the leper, the blind man, the centurion's son, to raising Lazarus from the dead. You see, Jesus fulfilled all three offices of prophet. God promised Moses that one day he would send another prophet to Israel. That was in Deuteronomy 18, 18. He said, I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command him. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. You know, the disciples, they witnessed Jesus' ministry, and they connected the dots. And when Peter was given an opportunity to preach, he said in Acts 3, 22, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Peter was telling them that was Jesus. So Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of prophet in title, word, and deed. And this is the coolest thing about all this and how Jesus did this. John spoke to this being not only Jesus' role, but exactly who he was by name. Listen to John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word, notice that's capitalized, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus has always been God's spokesman. You know, God still uses the role of prophet today. You know, about a year ago, we had Bob Laughlin here, and I love listening to Bob biblically teach on the role of prophet. I think biblical understanding of prophet is important. because, as he alluded to, it can be misused. And I believe the church needs prophets and prophetesses, amen? The church needs that. And here is something, if you are seeking, if you are desiring, if you are already fulfilling that role, prophetic ministry begins in the presence of the Lord. These are just some of the things a prophet does. The prophet admonishes, warns, directs, encourages, intercedes, teaches, and counsels. In Jeremiah 23:18 and verse 22, it says, "Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? And the word was God. If they had stood before me and listened to me, they would have spoken my words. They would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds." You are seeing the role of prophet, and God is so very clear that you become a prophet by being in the presence of the Lord and hearing what he has to say. Amen. The role of prophet is to know the heart and mind of the Lord and speak the word to his people. That's it. Here's the cool thing today. That is revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. And prophetic ministry is one of the spiritual gifts that God doesn't have just one spokesman for all people. He can gift that inside of you. Amen? He can do that, but you have to seek it. You have to desire it. Let's listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1-4. He says, "Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives you, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church." And God asks us to desire that as he wants to speak into the lives of the people, and it is a sign that points others to him. I've heard it said that our culture isn't interested in God. I would argue they are more interested than ever before. They just want the truth. They want the truth. They don't want the fluff. They don't want everything else that goes with identifying as the American church or whatever it is. They just want to have an experience with God. And what the Pentecostal church has failed to do is show them what the Spirit of God looks like. Amen. We have to be in the presence of the Lord. That is the way that they can experience the truth. Church, I'm telling you, we come to church and we say we're hungry, but we go home and we don't eat. Seriously. We say we want all these things, but then the patterns of our lives show that we're not that interested. See, we can be interested in experience here at church, but the bottom line is you can't live. There's 168 hours in a week, okay? You can't look to that 1 hour to sustain you. My life is stressful. This 1 hour, I gotta tell you, is all but gonna disappear tomorrow. And I need something for tomorrow to sustain me through the day. I need something for Tuesday to sustain me through the day. You hear me, church? We must be in the presence of the Lord, and we can let iron sharpen iron here in the church. We can have experiences as a community, but if you are not taking that home with you, if you are not taking that into your workplace, if you are not seeking the presence of God on a daily basis, church, I am telling you, you're not hungry. God wants us to desire the gift of prophecy because he wants to deliver his truth to people. And here's the cool thing. It strengthens the church. There's been so many times where I've been seeking the Spirit of God in my life, and all of a sudden, someone just gives a word of prophecy over my life, and I'm like, God, this is what I've been waiting on. And it's confirmed with his word, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later because that's so important. But listen to Joel 2:28. Joel 2:28 spoke on how God would use people in the latter days. And it says, then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Some of you might be sitting there and you're like, Pastor, you just said Jesus fulfilled the role of prophet. Why are prophets still needed if Jesus fulfills that role? I'm going to tell you how awesome it is that with everything Jesus suffered for you and I on the cross, he was raised back to life. He ascended up to heaven. And he is sitting at the right hand of God, waiting for the time to call his people home. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus prophesies about the end days, and he connects the people to the prophetic words of Daniel and his second return. And regarding when this would take place, he says in verse 36, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. So as we are in the wait, the Father still looks to draw people unto himself. And the foundation of the church, check this out, the foundation of the church even today is built on evangelists and prophets. If you hear that and you're like, wait, where do you get that? Let's look at Ephesians 2:20. It says, together, we are his house. Who's that, church? That's us. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. But this will always be through the lens of revealing God to the people. That is the need for the prophets and prophetesses today. This world needs God. This world needs God revealed to them, and he can use you to do that. But you have to seek, you have to desire. Now, I want to be clear. Prophecy never contradicts Scripture. If prophecy is God's spoken word and the Bible is God's written word, they will not contradict each other. Throughout the last election and during COVID, I heard a lot of prophets prophesy that frankly need to repent. They need to repent because the words they spoke did not come to fruition. And so are we speaking on behalf of God? No. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21. It says, "Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. I am not going to take a prophetic word as biblical until I allow the Bible to confirm it and God to confirm it." So it is so important that we know the Word of God so that you can properly test prophetic words to know if you can confirm what is being said. Here's the cool thing about God. He will always confirm words that are spoken over you. Seek Him. Don't just take something someone says as gospel. God will confirm it. The Word of God tells you to test that. Test it. I'm going to share a story before we go on. I started pastoring at the age of 27, senior pastoring. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. And there I took a church that was in a town of less than 300 people. And I am not lying, I have witnesses. The only business in that town was a nursing home, besides the church. And that was a proving ground for my life. And there was a woman in the church that she had a word of prophecy for me all the time. But if you looked at the pattern of her life, it was an absolute mess. So I always took everything she said kind of with a grain of salt. It's like, well, I'll file that away and, you know, just move on. And it was so funny because I got so used to discounting what she said that there came a time in my life where I really need to seek God in something. And every time she gave me a word, she gave it directly to me or over the phone. I'm like, and I'm holding the phone out here, just letting her go, because it happened all too regularly. But one time, she emailed me a word from the Lord. And this was like a year and a half later. I wasn't even thinking about that anymore. I discounted like I discounted everything else. And I'm praying, and God said, "I want you to go back and I want you to read that." Okay. At the time, what she said didn't make any sense. But there I am, I'm searching, never thought I'd do this, I'm searching for her name in my email, and all of a sudden that email pops up, and I read it. And I had been fasting and praying for 3 days. This was the third day. And all of a sudden I'm like, "Lord, that speaks directly to now." It's amazing what God can do. And church, I'm telling you that if God can use a donkey to speak, God can use any one of us to deliver a word to someone else. But He'll confirm it. He'll confirm it. Going back to the role of prophet, the ultimate role, and Jesus fulfilled it in every way. Jesus, the prophet, revealed God the Father. Jesus Christ, in everything He is and who He represents, He radiates God's glory and expresses God's character. That was what Jesus brought to the earth. Listen to Hebrews 1:1-3. It says, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son." God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Jesus not only revealed God in word, but God in character. And here's something Jesus could do that no one else could do. He did it without flaw. And because he did it without flaw, now Jesus is elevated to the right hand of God and he is being honored in the throne room. And the words that God has spoke long ago before the time of Jesus was Jesus fulfilled in Jesus. The word, was fulfilled in Jesus since the very beginning. You know, we've spoke before about the likelihood that Jesus just by chance fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy spoken about the Messiah. There's this book called Science Speaks by Peter Stoner. And what he does is he lays out a bunch of probabilities first. And the book was written quite a while ago, so understand that these numbers have changed a little bit. But he wrote, the likelihood that you'll be struck by lightning this year is 1 in 700,000. The likelihood that you'll be killed by lightning is 1 in 2 million. Now, I think this number has changed. The likelihood becoming president, 1 in 10 million. So you're saying there's a chance. The chances of a meteorite landing on your house, 1 in 180 trillion. The probability that you will eventually die, 1 in 1. So what he did was he did the math. What is the probability that Jesus just fulfilled 8 Old Testament verses? Just 8. There's 330 some. But what are the chances he fulfilled just 8? The probability is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's represented in this next number. So what he did was he looked at that probability and he's like, okay, now that's just 8 verses. There's 330, but we got to go somewhere from there. So he said, how about the mathematic probability for Jesus fulfilling 48 prophetic verses? That was 1 in 10 to the 157th power, which looks like that. Ted was my witness this morning for the challenge of putting out all those zeros. All of the Old Testament prophecy concerning the Messiah was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So I ask you this. What are the chances that the prophetic words that Jesus spoke will also be fulfilled? Jesus was the Word of God incarnate. And so what we can do is we can take him at his word. And we can also know that he is exactly who he claimed to be. Amen. So I want to ask you, why do you think it's so important to establish that Jesus fulfilled the role of prophet? Let me tell you what fulfillment does. Fulfillment, it draws the link between a claim and the truth. The truth revealed. So what we, in essence, are doing is establishing the truth that Jesus is the ultimate authority. He is exactly who he claimed to be. So he came to the earth. He took our punishment on the cross to be our propitiation, that we can have someone perfect take our place, so that all of a sudden now we can have this direct relationship with the Father because of Jesus Christ. And that was spoken about a long time ago, and it was all fulfilled within Jesus Christ. And so now you and I, what we do is we have access to God the Father because we walk through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is what gets us there. That sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, takes my place. And because it takes my place, all of a sudden, God is not looking at me as Aaron the screw up. Because I've done plenty of that. He looks at me and he sees his son. He sees his son. And so here's the thing. I do not care what's in your past. I've heard so many people say, Pastor, if I walk in that church, lightning is going to strike me. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a 1 in 700,000 chance. But here's what I know. There is nothing under the sun that God cannot forgive in that person's life. And so when they come to the throne of grace, as I have come to the throne of grace, it doesn't matter what is in their past, because once you claim the blood of Jesus Christ, God looks at you and he sees his son, who lived a perfect life, who took your place on the cross. And God says, in that I am satisfied. In that it's fulfilled. So church, here's the thing that I know. Jesus was God's word revealed to us. And we cannot take it for granted. And I know that when his spirit has impacted me, each and every time I realize, it's kind of like what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He's in the presence of God, and all of a sudden he's like, what was me? I'm a man of unclean lips. I have no right to be here. I thank him for what his son did. And all of a sudden, I just go into praise. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to focus on your life. I believe that the Holy Spirit is working here. And I'm going to call my prayer altar team forward. I believe that if you're searching for the truth, if you start seeking God for it, he's going to give it to you. But I already believe that God has been stirring up in your life what you need to hear. And I believe that there are some in this room that needed to hear this message today, or God would not have given it. And you might be here today and you might be saying, I need Jesus. That could be for the first time. That could be for the millionth time. But if you are recognizing, I just need to lay it all down. I need to let it go. I need to let Jesus be exactly who he is in my life, so that I can walk in freedom. I believe God wants to give you that freedom today. What I want to do, I want us to continue to press into the Spirit. Like while you're still just focusing on the Lord and what He's speaking to you, I encourage you to stand right now. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment as Kelton's going to get ready to sing about altar responses. The people in this church don't care about what you've done when you approach the altar. They care about who you're going up to the altar to meet. And they celebrate when a person goes up to meet with God the Father. So do not look at this altar as a place of judgment. Look at it as a place of redemption, renewal, mercy, grace, consecration before the Lord. He wants to move upon your life. And all He's waiting for you to do is look to Him to remove the chains of bondage. I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and if the Spirit of God is impressing upon you to come receive prayer, if you need some kind of freedom, if you say, today I need to accept Jesus Christ, or I have not given Him my all, I am encouraging you to just respond from where you're at. Come up, find someone to agree with you in prayer. But I want to pray for you right now. Father God, you see those who are standing here, and Lord, when you deliver a message, you do not deliver it with mistake. You deliver it with purpose, God. And so, Lord, we just give you this opportunity right now to move, to speak into our lives, to awaken us to what you are doing, God, that we might become more refined and more like you and more like your Son, who you have set to reveal you to us. God, may we take every opportunity we can to better reflect your Son in who He was, who He is today. That He is prophet God. He is our King. He is priest. He is shepherd of the people. God, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we surrender to you. Spirit of God, impress upon your people right now. Those who need to plead for your grace and mercy all over again, God. Those who just desire to be more like your Son, God. Those who need agreement in prayer, Father.